Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
I thank God for my life, and for the stars and stripes. May freedom forever fly. Let it ring. Salute the ones who die, the ones that give their lives, so we don't have to sacrifice all the things we love, like our chicken fries and cold beer on Friday night.
I don't know what it is about this song, man. Makes me cry every time I hear it. I think it's that intro.
America is your artist of the day.
Happy birthday, America. Telephone number here is 576-7798. And as we come to July 4th, it is an anniversary, of course, that we celebrate, but also here in Kansas City, one that we remember in not so positive terms.
Yeah, you might notice all week this week, leading up to the 4th, there are police officers all over the city, and they are canvassing neighborhoods, going door to door, reminding people not to do something so mind-blowingly dangerous and stupid that I can never understand why it happens every year, but it does. And that is shooting guns up in the air to celebrate every New Year's Eve and every 4th of July. And Scott, you remember back in 2011, some idiot fired his gun and that bullet went up and it came down and it killed an 11-year-old girl named Blair Shanahan Lane.
Joining us on the KMBZ hotline is Sergeant Jake Bikina from the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department. And I believe there might be a member of Blair's family on the line as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, Michelle, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you guys for having us.
So let's start with you, Officer. What are you specifically doing this week to remind people what happened to Blair and to urge them to... I struggle with this because it just seems so stupid that anyone would do this, but they do.
Yeah, so this would have been our fifth year. You know, the officers out on patrol, they have this message and they share this with people as they come in contact with people. What Michelle and I have done the previous 4 years was some directed efforts in areas where we knew there was gunfire years past based on our gunfire detection system, and we would go knock on hundreds of doors. Because of the virus this year, we are not doing that, just out of abundance of caution for the safety of the community. So we're not having those door-to-door interactions that we've had in years past, although it is on the minds of all the officers out in patrol as they're answering normal calls for service. But you're absolutely right. The message is super simple, and the first part of it is what goes up must come down, and that bullet comes back to the earth with a relatively similar velocity that it was fired out of the gun with, and so it can damage property, it can hurt, injure, or even kill people. And so not every year we go, and not everybody knows that. Somebody learns that new for the first time from us every year. We also share with people that it is illegal. Shooting a gun off in the city limits is illegal. Most cities around here have that same ordinance. In Kansas City, Missouri, it is illegal to fire a gun off in the city limits. And then we ask people to call 911 to report that if they do see it, because our detection system tells us where and when, but it doesn't tell us who's responsible for it, what car they got into, which way they went, et cetera. And then lastly, probably the most important piece, to whatever extent you have influence with friends, family members, coworkers, anyone at all that you're going to be around this holiday weekend, if they're talking about going to get their gun out, if they go get the box and start to open it up, have that conversation with them about the dangers of it and what can go wrong. Blair is an example of exactly a real life example of what can go wrong. And that's why Michelle comes with me every year to knock on these doors. And that's why we keep doing it, and why it's so valuable.
And Michelle, remind everyone, Blair had just lit a sparkler. You guys were near Riss Lake when it happened.
Yes. And just out of nowhere, she fell to the ground. And, you know, at the time, we would have never guessed that she'd been hit by a bullet. But due to the police and detective work, that is exactly what happened. And she held that slug in her neck. So it was determined, you know, exactly as, you know, how they were able to figure out how and where it came from.
And, Mom, you were just having a peaceful, typical American 4th of July afternoon, were you not?
Yes, evening, yes.
Evening, okay.
Actually had my phone in my hand going to text and say, hey, you know what, I think I'm going to take a couple more days off of work. And I never went back to that life again. My entire life changed.
God bless you.
Sergeant, can you give us an idea of the numbers? And I ask this because I think people will be stunned. I have a friend who lives in Kansas City, Missouri, and she usually spends the 4th of July in her basement. She has a 5-year-old. She spends New Year's Eve in her basement because she can hear the shots. This is not something that happens once or twice.
Yeah, it's literally hundreds across the city. Our gunfire detection system doesn't cover the entire city, but the portion we know is literally hundreds of rounds are fired, and we hear that same thing. It's more rounds on New Year's Eve. We hear that same thing from people that they spend New Year's Eve sleeping under their bed, in their basement, in their bathtub for safety reasons, and no one should have to do that. And that's why we keep going out and knocking on doors. We've seen on the blocks that we go on in years past, you know, we look at the days following of gunfire reports, and we see that there aren't any repeat gunfire reports. And so we know that these face-to-face conversations that we have with people are helping, and we know that they work. And we're going to continue to do it. It's just, it's really unfortunate this year with the virus concerns that we're not able to have the face-to-face conversations in people's homes.
Michelle, can you talk a little bit about Blair's Law? I know most people have heard about it. It would have made celebratory gunfire a felony in the city. It's my understanding that that law still has not passed. Are you still working on that? And why, if the law has not passed, has it not passed?
We are still working on it. This year, the reason is COVID-19. So our first year, the representative took a job in the private sector. The second year, the representative stepped aside to take a job as a lobbyist. And then we had another state representative resign. And this year, we are faced with COVID-19. So we will be back again to testify, and we understand the support is there. We just need to move it out of the House over to the Senate and make it happen.
And lastly, Michelle, what do you want people to know about Blair as we continue to share what happened to your family and the importance of making good decisions on these holidays?
She should still be here.
Amen.
Because of the decision of irresponsibility and stupidity, she is the 50th homicide of 2011. She would be 20 years old, no doubt leading a successful, beautiful life, and it was stolen. And not just from her, from me, it's from other, her family, and, you know, I will never be the same, and clearly she doesn't have a life to live. And if you can, for one moment, think, don't do this, if you think don't do it, then don't do it. It's common sense.
Sergeant, before we end the conversation, how did you guys in all the world figure out who fired that bullet?
Yeah, so once in a while in police work, what you see on the crime shows on TV actually works out. The forensics on that with the angle of the wounds and some mathematical formulas developed by people way smarter than me.
Sunshine found the shell casing.
Yeah, so the evidence was found in a location that was over 1,000 feet away. Yeah. And there was some angles and some trajectory analysis done, and it was a little bit of good luck and a lot of good crime scene analysis that brought that together.
Yeah. Suspect got 18 months in prison, Scott.
Originally, we were told that it may not be solved, so... But hands down, the applause goes to the Kansas City Police Department for finding, but yet to be able to have an example of what not to do is falls in line with it as well.
But, Mom, obviously you would argue the 18 months that he got in prison was not nearly enough.
He was sentenced to 3 years and was to serve the whole 3 years. And my understanding of the 18 months, I don't know how we got there. But, you know, at this point, again, just to continue to educate people, you know, and I have to continue to forgive that choice and decision that day. And, you know, and they have to live with themselves. So it's a life sentence, really, for both of us.
God bless. All the best.
Thank you.
Sergeant, Mom, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate your time. And the message is simple. Do not shoot your guns in the air. Don't be an idiot. Be well to both of you. Here are your parents on their wedding day, by the way. Aww. Thank you, Sergeant. Thank you, Mom. Folks, we're coming up on a holiday weekend. And I know everybody likes to get out and shoot fireworks and drink beers and cook hot dogs and everything. For the love of God in heaven, I can't believe I even have to say this. Do not shoot your guns in the air. Because that bullet that you're shooting out of your gun is going to come down. And yeah, it may be one in a million. Tell that to Blair and her family. Because that bullet did come down and hit her in the neck and it killed her. Don't shoot your guns in the air. America, I get it. Don't shoot your guns in the air. Don't be an idiot. It's 3:18 here on KMBZ.
I opened up the glove box and that's when I found the note. The date was 1966 and this is what he wrote. He said, my name is Private Andrew Malone. And if you're reading this, then I didn't make it home. But for every dream that shattered, another one comes true. This car was once a dream of mine, now it belongs to you. Though you may,
you know, as we celebrate the 48th anniversary today of Linda and Craig Wright, we would be remiss if we didn't wish a happy anniversary today, 32 years to Jasper Mirable.
Wow, that's right. They do share that.
Mm-hmm. Look how young he looks
in
this
picture. Little baby,
baby face. Little pinch your cheeks.
A couple stories to pass on. One I find amusing and one I find puzzling. You know, there are many news people working from home right now, okay? And so from time to time, we have a lot of news people who live in our neighborhood. Like, and a hilarious number of news people live in our neighborhood. And we started it. We were first, and then they all started coming in.
Okay, simmer down.
Got five. We've got 41 over there. Now we've got nine. Anyway, so yesterday, our Wi-Fi wasn't working very well, and Chris is working from home because Laura is in the studio, and they're trying to keep them separated because of the COVID. And the Wi-Fi goes down. And so Channel 9 says, forget it. We'll just send you a live truck. We'll just send a live truck to your house, which they do from time to time. Times three or four, because three or four of these news people live in our neighborhood. Someone goes on eNeighbors overnight, Scott, and posts, does anyone know what the news trucks were doing in our neighborhood today? And there's this thread. I saw that as well. What could it be?
Sonny. Get murdered?
Just remember the news people are working from home. That's what that is, people.
Is that Chris Katz's house? Like, what's going on in
did
there?
Did he die?
Somebody get hurt?
Not Kansas City's
I don't
anchor,
know.
Man.
Anyway.
Is Chris Katz dead?
That made me laugh. Then number two, you are not going to believe this. You know there were two alligators on the loose in Manhattan, Kansas, and we've been following this. We've talked to the owner of Reptile World after two alligators were stolen from Reptile World, and some idiot set them loose in this creek in Manhattan, which I believe has been closed down since, because there's alligators in it.
Right.
So one of the alligators sadly died in a trap that they had set to catch it.
Yeah, that's
the other alligator is still on the loose. So yesterday in Manhattan, Kansas, they spot the gator.
Oh.
Because there's one left, remember?
Yep.
From KSNT.com. Spotted alligator, not from Manhattan Reptile World, owner says. There's a third one, Scott.
They're multiplying.
Another alligator spotted Thursday morning at Wildcat Creek is not the missing alligator from Manhattan Reptile World, according to the store owner.
Oh, my God.
Manhattan Reptile World owner Colin Cudney says the alligator spotted is much smaller than Pebbles, the female that died in a trap in June. The missing alligator is believed to be bigger than Pebbles and out there somewhere still alive.
Oh, my God.
I can tell by the size of it. I truly believe it is not mine. Beauregard is still out there. He is the biggest of the two.
Oh, my word.
The second, possibly third gator was spotted between South Manhattan Avenue and Pecan Circle near Wildcat Creek. It
Pecan.
Is still on the loose. The store owner says he doesn't want people to think there's an alligator infestation.
Oh, my word.
He says that the gators that have been spotted will likely not live past the fall season. What in the Sam Hill is going on?
I don't know, man.
In Manhattan?
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Veronica Corningstone.
This is your doctor.
I have your pregnancy report here. And guess what? You got knocked up.
So you should probably get out of news.
Who is this?
This is Dr. Chim.
Dr. Chim Richards.
Richards?
Ron, is this you?
I'm a professional doctor. You saw me, you don't remember.
You should move. You should get out of the business.
This is pathetic.
You're pathetic.
Beautiful, far heroes proved in liberating strife.
Now, wait a minute.
Who more than self?
I love later on in the song. He gets like really into it, Ray Charles does. And he goes, now, wait a minute. You might do it right here. Nah.
America.
So anyway, I got to tell this story, and we'll get into Jeffrey Epstein's girlfriend here in a little bit. I don't want to embarrass my oldest daughter, but I have to. So we're driving home from the gym this morning, and we're at the corner of Shawnee Mission Parkway and Knoll. And there's this woman who's probably our age, and she's walking her dog, and she's trying to get across a very busy intersection.
Yeah.
Shawnee Mission Parkway and Knoll is a very busy intersection, for those of you who don't know. And she looks over, and she goes, oh, puppy. And I go, oh, that's a cute dog. And Sarah realizes that the woman walking the dog is probably in her mid to late 40s, I would guess.
Okay.
And she goes, Dad, can I ask you a question? And I go, yeah. And she was driving. I was sitting passenger. And she goes, when you get older, are you attracted to older women like who are your age, or are you still attracted to younger women of age? And I said, well, I guess if I had to answer that, I mean, I'm attracted to Kelly, and she's roughly my age, minus 9 years. I said, so I guess as you get older, you're more attracted to people who are your own age. She goes, so you're not, like, attracted to, like, young women, like 19, 20, 21, 22 or whatever? I said, I don't think so. Not really. I mean, I know that.
That'd be creepy.
That was the word I used. And I said, no, I don't think so. I think that might be creepy. She goes, okay. And I'm trying to figure out where she's going here. And out of nowhere, she goes, well, I was just curious because, you know, as people get older, they get uglier. And I looked at her. I go, do we now?
Wow.
Yes. She goes, well, wait. No, you're handsome.
Oh, yeah, you can't walk that one back.
You're handsome, Dad. And I go, okay. So as we get older, we get uglier.
You're handsome now, but next year.
You're going to be ugly.
Ugly.
I mean, like.
What is the ugly year? I mean, is it 38? Is it 42?
I don't think people get uglier as they get older.
I don't either. Have you seen George Clooney? Hello, George Clooney.
Simmer down.
Oh, my.
Wow.
I mean, wow. Damn, he gets better every year. He is one of those guys that's going to be stupid hot when he's 80. Oh, yeah.
Does it bother your husband that you like have this?
No,
like,
he knows.
Deal breaker rule with George Clooney?
He knows. You know, one of my best friends was in an elevator with him and didn't go like this on the buttons. And I've never forgiven her. I go, you were trapped in an elevator with George Clooney and you didn't stall the elevator? I haven't spoken to her since.
To do what? Molest him?
No, take a selfie.
And then have him be incredibly angry that you just did that. And then remember that you're a horrible human
being. She didn't even say hi. Because you know when you first get on the elevator, you know, there's this weird social contract that you don't look at anyone. You just get on and turn straight around. Sure. So she just gets on the elevator, turns around. She pushes her button, and he's with a buddy.
And she's wishing he would push her
button. And with Cindy Crawford and Randy Gerber. And Carrie's like...
Who's Randy Gerber?
Cindy Crawford's husband. Okay. And so they start going up or down. Anyway. So that's the way I would have
gone. Wow.
And she's standing there. She doesn't realize it's him. And then they all start talking behind her. And she's like, I mean, that you just, I knew it was him. I knew it was him. She's like, at that point, you can't turn around. And I go,
think you can.
Why not? And she goes, because we were in an elevator. That's weird. And I go, oh, I am so disappointed in you. And Cindy Crawford said to her as she got off the elevator, I like your pants. And Carrie goes, thanks.
Oh, Carrie Emmer?
Yes! Carrie, George, Cindy, Randy in an elevator, no photo.
Give me Carrie's phone number.
She's at work.
So what?
She can't knows her. To this day.
Give me her
I have
phone
never
number
been
right
so
now.
Disappointed in a human being in my life.
Well, I actually applaud her for giving him his space and his privacy.
There is no space
give me her
in an
phone
elevator.
Number.
There's no space in an elevator. Are you crazy?
Where were they?
You know, Carrie did these huge corporate events for corporations.
That's what corporate events mean.
Yes, but like big, 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 big corporate events. And, you know, I'm sure they were in Tuscany or something, and that's where he lives. I don't know where George lives.
He lives in Lake...
yeah, I know.
Lake Como or Cuomo or whatever it's called. I don't know. Let's talk to your friend.
You wouldn't have said anything on that elevator.
No, probably not.
You have. You are lying. I'm just going to say you're lying. I would have made it so awkward. I would have been like, you're going to remember me.
You will not forget this day.
I'll tell her. Pick up your phone.
Yeah.
Pick up your phone, George Clooney denier.
Somebody wants you to play the pronunciation for the word pecan.
It's pecan.
It's pecan.
No, it's not.
It's
give
pecan.
Me a second.
If you're missing a few teeth, it's pecan.
Okay. I'm not missing it.
Okay, what? I just said pick up your phone, and she's going to say, I can't. I'm at work.
What?
Lie and say you have to go to the bathroom.
Right.
Okay, Scott, how do you say it?
Pecan.
And Dana?
It's pecan. Pecan pie.
Pecan and pecan. All right.
Pecan.
Damn it.
What is going on? I'm going to say
pecan.
Scott wants to hear the Clooney story. She'll say no. Because she knows. She knows.
She knows what?
She knows that I've never forgiven her.
Well, I don't think it's your place to forgive.
She just wrote, oh my God, no.
Tell her to pick up the damn phone. When we call,
pecan.
Stop.
I'm curious if anyone out there has ever had, and it doesn't have to be an elevator, but like, did you do that thing that we all say that we're not going to do, which is bother somebody who's famous? Because if someone was seated and eating, I would not.
Or know that you're in the presence of somebody who is super famous and ignored them, which I think is better.
I would not if, let me tell you this, if Tom Watson was out having dinner, I would not. I wouldn't say a word.
You wouldn't bother him.
No, not when he's with family eating a meal.
I know.
But Clooney in an elevator, yeah, I'm going to say something.
I know that I did it one time, and I think I was at the airport in Atlanta, and I realized that sitting across from me was George Foreman. And I didn't say a word.
And you didn't say anything?
No.
And like, you know it's George Foreman. There's no mistaking
There's
George Foreman.
There's no mistaking George Foreman. And I remember I was sitting there. It was years and years ago. And I was coming back from whatever. I don't even remember. And I'm in the Atlanta airport. And I look up. And you know how you sit there in your gate and everybody's got their seats? Sitting right across from me was George Foreman.
And you said nothing.
I said nothing to him. I thought, you know, he just wants to be left alone. I'm not going to bother him.
Well, and it doesn't matter how nice you are. If somebody else hears you say their name, they're going to probably come over and say something, and then it's just a chain reaction, and all of a sudden the whole airport's
right.
trying to talk now, to George Foreman.
Now, one of the rare moments where I actually did say something...
was at a urinal, so don't be judging me.
Well, that was David Coverdale. From Whitesnake.
I mean, can't believe you're judging me for saying something in an elevator, and you went up to some guy at a urinal with his...
I didn't go up to him.
Ding dong hanging out and said, hey, are you the Whitesnake guy?
I was peeing first.
Talk about awkward.
No, I was peeing first, and David Coverdale came into the bathroom and started peeing, and I looked over, and I said, oh, my God, you're David Coverdale from Whitesnake. And, you know, he has an English accent, which I'm not going to try to imitate. But he said, yes, I am. And I just remember I said, you're shorter than I thought you would be.
Then you turned to him and peed on his shoes.
And then I thought to myself, oh, my God, that is the dumbest thing you've ever said.
All right. Carrie says, okay, call me if you want. But the way you tell that story is not true.
Aha!
No, she is lying.
I knew it. I knew you were a liar about this story about George Clooney. By the way, the one person I did go up to, and I try not to do this because it's not cool.
You told me it was Marlena from Days of Our Lives.
That was in the concourse of the Democratic Convention. She wanted me to come up to her.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure it was the defining moment of her life.
I said, do you know who I am? She goes, no. No, I'm kidding. No, seriously. Everything about me happens in the Atlanta airport. This is true. I'm in the Atlanta airport again. Because for whatever reason, I go to Atlanta a lot. And I'm sitting in, and he was on our plane. And Jacques Vaughn.
Oh, I would absolutely say something to Jacques Vaughn.
Yeah. And so Jacques Vaughn was in the gate.
Yeah.
And I just remember, I was either by myself or with him.
Did you get a picture?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I remember looking over and I go, oh my God, that's Jacques Vaughn from KU. And I think at the time he was the coach at Orlando or whatever. And I just went up to him and I said, I don't want to bother you, but you're Jacques Vaughn. And he goes, yeah. And I go, I went to KU when you were in KU. And I'm a huge fan.
Hope your wrist is doing well.
Can we take a picture? And he said, yes. And we took a picture.
And that was it.
Yep.
So for a man who says you would never bother anyone, you sure have a lot of stories about bothering people. Scott's like, and then there was that one time when I was in Dallas, I ran into Wilford Brimley and was like, hey, can I get a photo?
Listen, I got the diabetes too.
The only time I've ever run after anyone was Lou Ferrigno, and he acted like he was ignoring me, but he wasn't because he's deaf. And that was in Orlando.
You've got to tell that story when you're back.
I've told it before. I thought he was ignoring me. I'm like, hello, everyone knows you're the Incredible Hulk. It's like George Foreman. You can't really hide it when you're Lou Ferrigno.
Why are you ignoring me, sir? Hey! You dummy, what are you, deaf?
Well, yeah, turns out he was.
Oh, I am.
Carrie will join us when we come back. And we'll lie to you about the encounter with George.
It is not a
lie.
In a
very small enclosed space.
I remember when Lou Ferrigno came in this room.
God, he was so nice.
He was so great. But you were so bad. You were so bad.
He goes, where the hell did you get this one? Do you remember that?
Yes. And you were like, I didn't know you were deaf. And he goes, everybody knows I'm deaf.
Almost heaven,
West Virginia, Blue Ridge Mountain, Shenandoah River.
Hey, don't forget, we're going to do Festivus Thursday at 5 o'clock because we're off tomorrow for the 4th of July. Let's go to Carrie Emmert, our George Clooney denier, on the hotline.
Oh, my God.
Hi, Carrie.
Hi, Scott.
So you say that the story Dana reiterates is not accurate.
It is not accurate. And I didn't even hear what she said earlier.
Were you or were you not on an elevator with George Clooney?
Yes, I was on an elevator with George Clooney.
Did you ignore him?
Well, let me explain. What's her name? Married to Randy Gerber? Cindy Crawford?
Yes.
She was on the elevator as well. All three of them were on it. And, yeah, I mean, it was awkward. They're all super famous. And I just, yeah, I ignored him.
Good for you, kid. Good for you.
But you knew the moment he started talking, it was him.
Oh, my God, yes, Dana.
And then in that moment, what was it in your soul that decided you were not going to say a word to one of the most famous men in the world?
Because I'm not that girl.
Amen. Good for you. Good for you.
I am that girl.
I know.
Unless they're eating. I told you I wouldn't say anything if he was eating a meal by himself.
He's pretty short. I will say that. I mean, he's a lot shorter than I thought he would be.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what that means.
Didn't you also see them at breakfast the next day? Or am I making that up too?
Oh, my. No, they were all over the hotel that week.
Where were you?
Yeah. I was at the one hotel in Miami, in South Beach. I was working. We had bought out a majority of the hotel, but apparently Cindy and Randy own a residence there. So they were there pimping their tequila or vodka or whatever George and Randy.
I love that you say I was on the elevator with George Clooney and Randy Gerber and what's his wife's name? Oh, yeah, Cindy Crawford.
Because the men listening, Carrie, you know this, the men listening would have probably said something to Cindy Crawford.
Well, of course. Actually, she spoke to me, but that's a whole other story.
She told you she liked your pants.
My pants. She liked my pants, and you guys, they were the worst pants ever. I was forced to wear them because it was a uniform, and my client made us wear them. And I burned them after the event. I hated them so much, but Cindy really liked them. I didn't understand.
So there is nothing about the story that I told that is untrue, by the way. That is exactly what I just said happened.
That is technically true.
Is that right?
Yes!
Oh, so you started telling the truth.
Well, I left out the part that he was wearing a Tom Ford suit.
Yeah, that he was not in a suit. And I do remember what he was wearing, though.
Oh, I bet you do.
I will say that. I do. He was wearing a white button-down shirt, like long-sleeve white button-down shirt and jeans and flip-flops. I do remember.
Very casual.
Oh, my God. Stop. I'm getting aroused.
Every once in a while, Carrie and I will be drinking wine, and I'll be like, tell me about the time you were on that elevator again. Tell me exactly what he was wearing.
Well, Carrie, I applaud you on your restraint and your respect for people's privacy.
Thank you.
And the fact that you and Dana went to school together just shocks me.
Yeah, we're Topeka girls.
I mean, this is 20-plus years in the making.
No, it's 30-something years in the making.
Yeah, we're old, girl.
Okay, whatever. Whatever!
Are you a semen high Trojan?
I'm a semen high Viking, thank you very much.
Oh, I thought you guys were Trojans.
No, we're Vikings. Thank you.
Ha ha.
All right, Clooney denier, I'll talk to you later.
See you guys.
Okay. Wow. All right. Later, Viking.
The Trojans are the rival.
Okay, bye-bye.
That is
true.
100% true.
100% true.
Those football calls
Shawnee
are the
Heights.
Best.
Siemens playing the Trojans tonight.
Shawnee Heights.
News is next on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.